Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge weekend at City, the bobblehead, David Wright Day, the fireworks, a lot of traffic, concert at MetLife Stadium. How many concerts do we have at MetLife Stadium?
MetLife Stadium, Zach Bryan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, big night. What do you mean how many concerts? A good venue to see a concert.
No, I know, but
better
venue
for a concert than it is a football game.
I would probably agree with that only because I've never seen a concert. Oh, no. Have I seen a concert in my life? Perhaps I have. Yeah. But I've seen football games there, and it's as bad as it gets. So it's hard
Come,
Sean.
I don't, it's not the day
you
for
wanna, you
want to
defend, you want to die on a hill, that's okay. You want to show
I don't
for
love
MetLife
Stadium, but I think we've also gone too far the other way. Like, MetLife Stadium's ugly, but MetLife Stadium has fine sight lines, you know, clean concourse. Again, not my favorite
big
stadium.
Dump.
Ugly. It looks like a spaceship that landed
it's
in
It's ugly, but it's not a dump.
Dump.
It's the
not
middle
a dump,
of a
Tom.
Swamp.
Not a dump. All right. Topic du jour. I've said that a lot the last 2 weeks in forever. I don't know why I keep going to du jour.
Du jour? You're
I'm,
in the...
I'm going to have...
No, it's a food reference.
I'm going to have a lot of self-reflecting after quarterbacking the show for 2 weeks and moving from the third spot to the first spot. And I think one
Whoa,
of my...
Whoa, what did you say?
Third spot to the first
well,
spot.
Well, I don't, what do you mean? So what are you implying? I'm the fourth spot? I'm the last person? I'm the runt of the litter? I don't apply anything. Well, I just don't understand how you anointed yourself the third person here. There's Evan and Tiki, so
Tommy.
That's clear that they're one and two. But this idea that you're third, which would then say that I am fourth, you know, I'm positive Tommy, I'm a generational talent, I'm the future of the station. This idea that I'm fourth, that I'm somehow just, you know, whatever here. A notch above what Rosie and Connor, which is...
Loogie is the future of the station.
Tommy,
yeah,
just settle down.
I'm going to have to do some self-reflecting.
It's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo. It's brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. David Wright's number 5 being retired. Nobody will ever wear number 5 in the history of the Mets unless they're a first-round pick and they ask the owner to take it down, in which case you never know these days. But anyway, it got me thinking. Forget we know Joe DiMaggio, right? Our lifetimes. Tommy is a 40-year-old man limping every week now.
The body's starting to hurt more and more.
I'm 38, so we're living in that realm. Who are the best number 5s to play in New York in our lifetime?
Okay, now, this is where the audience really needs to be locked in on this. I'm not the biggest numbers guy.
Okay.
So if Sean forgets one here like he did with CeCe Sabathia yesterday and not realizing his number is not, in fact, retired, we're going to need the audience to lean on this and tell me if Sean misses a glaring
All right.
one.
All right, and Evan's really bad with this, so I'm whooping this out now. So
yep.
Okay, and again, keyword in our lifetime around the guys that are on the show. So we're talking about 40 or younger, all right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Garrett Wilson, who now is number 5, started as number 17, second best receiver currently in New York, and I think is going to be an all-time Jet now that we know he's locked up.
Okay, I got to hear the other names before I comment on that, so let's get to 4.
Okay, here we go.
Number 4.
Kerry Collins, maybe one of the most underrated, I think, players in Giants history, quarterback the Giants, the 2000 Giants to a Super Bowl, another playoff appearance as well. And I think very undervalued in this town, but Kerry Collins for me at number 4.
Yeah, if you quarterback a Super Bowl team, you're definitely worthy of being on this list, no doubt.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
The number we will see retired tomorrow, David Wright. For me, obviously did everything the right way, for lack of a better term. Really sucks that injuries hindered what could have been maybe a career that got him to number 1 on this list. Not winning the World Series hurt too, but he is number 3 for me. He's obviously an iconic Met forever.
All right, again, I'm bad with numbers, so let's hear the first two before I comment on
that. All right, here we go.
Number 2.
Dan Girardi, New York Rangers. Another guy a lot like David Wright.
Heart Dan Girardi?
Look, if you don't put Dan Girardi here, I think you're more of an anti-hockey guy. I think he's a lot closer to David Wright than people give him credit for. Will he get his number retired? Will the Rangers have more of a richer legacy with retired numbers?
No, he's not getting his number retired. I could just tell you that right off the bat. Neither is Kreider.
Same kind of guy, shot-blocking Warrior, career cut short because he was a Warrior out there. Dan Girardi, number 2 for me. Here we go.
Yeah.
Number 1.
Number 1 is, of course, coach you just missed on, Jason Kidd. Back-to-back finals appearances, the most, outside of Dr. J, iconic for me, net player of all time. Very rare a net gets to the top of the list, but I think it's tough to argue that Jason Kidd in our lifetimes was the best athlete to wear number five in this town.
The Nets still in the league.
Look, Jason Kidd is arguably the greatest point guard to ever live. I'm not going to take anything away from his career. You know, once a Nick, always a Nick. Back-to-back finals with the hapless Nets. So he had a great and wonderful career. But Dan Girardi, I mean, David Wright was how many times All-Star, multiple times in the top 10?
Dan Girardi was an All-Star?
Voting. All right, but what was
different,
Wright?
Different, though. It's harder to make the NHL All-Star.
Okay, stop. I don't know enough about Dan Girardi to call it completely and utterly embarrassing.
So the reason I included
this, but it feels
this.
Embarrassing.
We had this argument about when this was first announced, and you remember Evan thought it was crazy, and he said Boomer is a Met Ranger fan. Let's let him.
Was the Dan Girardi.
That
stuff,
was this,
right?
And Boomer backed me up. Dan Girardi, a better number five in this town than David Wright. He said it was close, but he would go with Girardi.
I do remember that, and I forgot it was over Girardi.
Yeah, this was an argument we had. That's why I don't think it's out of line to do this. I think you have to be very in the thick of hockey to appreciate that. And look, I know that's not for everybody, but that's the sake of the list. And I think all three of those guys are deserving, to be honest with you. I think if you retire, kids' numbers retired, if the Rangers retired Girardi's number, I don't think anybody would go nuts. But it's a little different type of a franchise than the Mets. But either way, David Wright, congrats.
What do you mean it's a different kind of franchise than the Mets? What do you mean by that? You've won two Stanley Cups in the last, 100 years. What are you? You're not exactly the Detroit Red Wings or the Devils. You're not even the best hockey team in this
Mets
town.
Mets got a little looser
years.
With number retirements recently than the Rangers
bit,
have.
Maybe a little bit, but not crazy. I don't
That's
think.
All. All right.
Okay.
Can I just say that not including Tsuyoshi Shinjo on this list is borderline criminal for you?
Dynamite all right. Dropping. All right, so we have news here.
Do we even acknowledge that?
No. All right. Especially because we have breaking news from the Yankees. This is coming from Eric Bolin. Aaron Boone said Cam Schlittler was supposed to start tonight. If you're just tuning in, Ian Hamilton is starting tonight. They're doing a bullpen game. We tried to figure out why Cam Schlittler was not starting. So again, from Eric Bolin, Aaron Boone said Cam Schlittler was supposed to start tonight, but felt some, this is in quotes, upper arm soreness midweek. MRI was negative, and then Bolin goes on to write, hope is he'll start one of the games in Toronto. So again, Cam Schlittler, supposed to start tonight. This is according to Aaron Boone. He felt some upper arm soreness midweek. That was Cam. Got an MRI, negative. The hope, which is also the hope for Max Fried. So we have a lot of hope here for the Yankees coming out in their rotation. Hope is they'll start one of the games in Toronto. Your thoughts, Sean?
We have anything nice? Are we allowed to have anything nice? Cam Schlittler comes out of nowhere, throws 9 of the 10 fastest pitches the Yankees have seen all year. One start after he's mowing down in the minor leagues, and he has upper arm soreness midway through the All-Star break? Now, okay, it came back clean with the MRI.
Yeah, but what about imaging? Sometimes the MRIs come back clean. It doesn't mean you're out of the woods.
I don't trust this team with handling of injuries, man.
I mean, you have to trade for a pitcher at this point. I mean, I don't think there's any other way around it. When you look at the injuries,
and you can't even use him. You can't even use him if you wanted to trade him. Because who would look at that and go, oh, Yankees are dumping a guy that just throws high and his MRI didn't come back clean?
Okay, so a little bit more detail here from Brian Hoke on Cam Schlittler being scratched tonight or not starting, according to Aaron Boone. He's dealing with discomfort near his right biceps.
That's not good.
So Sean and I both don't really have any biceps, but this is a better question for Tiki, but I wonder what that could mean, like what kind of injury we deal. Obviously bicep, but what's like the bigger picture here? Your thoughts.
This sucks, man! Come on!
Okay, so Hoke has the
all right.
And stuff here.
All right, breathe. You're a professional. This is not good. I know it. They're saying that it came back clean, but it's not good.
No.
It's not good that your
especially
young phenom
guy,
pitcher
yeah.
that you just called up
yep.
is dealing with bicep tightness, soreness. Now, look, they still hope he can pitch in Toronto. Great. Great. I hope tonight I can eat or drink a Fribble and not have the calories. The Max Fried blister stuff combined with this is just not good. And it's not good for multiple reasons. You want everything to be fine, but it just shows you now, no matter what with Cam Schlittler, even if he is fine, the Yankees are going to begin walking, and deservedly, a tightrope on innings with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree on that.
Without a doubt.
And I wouldn't crush them for that.
No.
Because when you have soreness like that, you don't want to see him get extremely banged up further.
Mm-hmm.
Which means to me, no matter what, Cam Schlittler may now go back to starting every 5 days and start versus Toronto. He's not going to pitch deep into games. He becomes a 4 or 5 inning pitcher. And I'm talking about this is in the best case scenario. The Yankees probably do need to add us now. They're going to have Luis Gil coming back.
But will they? I mean,
that also means,
but what is he going to be?
That also means continuing to run Will Warren's innings up. That also means counting on Marcus Stroman. And the Yankees, because of preseason problems and not addressing third base, and, you know, for different factors, this really isn't on Brian Cashman, the bullpen not being up to snuff the way it needed to be. The Yankees, for a team trying to chase down a World Series, have too many holes to fill at the deadline. And you were hoping that starting pitching would not have to truly be one of those holes. But I don't know, even me, who said, don't worry about starting pitching, they'll be fine. Yeah, Ryan Yarbrough, who was a great star, you know, he'll come back at some point. I don't know how you look at the Yankee rotation, understand that at any given playoff start, Max Fried could pop up with a blister, that Luis Gil may not, you know, we're talking about the negatives. Carlos Rodon implosion could come at any point.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't look at the starting rotation and go, we got very fortunate in this first half of the year. What are we doing here?
And you know Aaron Boone is going to drop the line of, well, we're getting Luis Gil back. That's like a trade deadline acquisition.
But I think they need more.
Of course. And this is why you don't trade Marcus Stroman, by the way, in the offseason. That whole thing when he came in to spring training, he said, I'm a starting pitcher. And there were Yankee fans that were like, just trade Stroman. Where would you be right now if you didn't have Marcus Stroman? You could say what you want about Marcus Stroman, and maybe he's ineffective sometimes in the second half of seasons, but he stays healthy most of his career, and you now have a rotation that is running out of bodies. And when you say all the holes that the Yankees have to fill here, I go back to this. It is a joke that the Yankees didn't sign Alex Bregman. A joke. And you let him go to the Red Sox? Starting this season with no legitimate third baseman is a disgrace. So, yeah, now you could focus on, because the deadline's coming up, on a third baseman. But you have all these injuries now in your rotation, so you have two things you have to juggle, whereas if you just signed Bregman, I know he missed a little bit of time, but the time he's been healthy for the surging Red Sox, he's been great. And I don't understand that, and I never really got a great answer on why the Yankees, if it's about money, that's a total joke. If the only thing I could see and live with is if the King Aaron Judge went to Cashman and said, I don't like this guy. I don't like what the Astros did. I don't want him here. Then that's fine. But outside of that, how is Alex Bregman not a Yankee? Right? Doesn't he wear the number he wears because of Jeter? And he goes to the Red Sox so he could stick it to you in October?
He's not here because of finances. That's why.
That's embarrassing.
But when you enter a season and assume you could just acquire whatever you want to acquire at the deadline, it's a bad assumption. The Yankees got burned with it with left field a couple of years ago. They desperately need a third baseman. And now on top of that, you only have so many assets to go around. Best case scenario is that Cam Schlittler and Max Fried are both making starts versus Toronto. That's the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you've watched enough Yankee baseball and followed their injury history to assume, yeah, that's right. Everything's going to be rosy, not Paul Rosenberg, but rosy in Toronto, and these guys throw multiple innings. They are going to be cautious with Cam Schlittler the rest of the year. This is already the first warning sign. One start where we drooled, and I, like an idiot, untouchable. Yeah, he's untouchable because who's going to touch him?
Yeah.
This is disheartening, and I feel bad for Cam Schlittler, and I hope everything's fine. It makes sense now why the Yankees have to throw a bullpen game. I know we led with what the hell are the Yankees doing. But to be fair, we knew something was up. And it turns out the something that was up may be less Max Fried and more Cam Schlittler.
I think it's both. I think we speculated, is Fried going to the IL? And then we got to the Schlittler part of it. I think it's both. I think both guys, clearly something wrong here. I would be surprised if either makes a start in Toronto. I don't know where that leaves the Yankees as far as rotation options, more bullpen games. You want to hear from a Twitter doctor?
Yeah.
Or a doctor on Twitter?
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as Schlittler. Bicep attached at the same place the rotator cuff muscles attach to. Bicep tendon soreness can also affect rotator cuff tendons. That's from a Twitter doc.
So this is like way worse news than just Fried recovering from a blister, like we thought.
Definitely.
Yeah, again, MRI coming back clean might make you breathe a sigh of relief, but anytime you hear, it's attached to the rotator cuff, there's more imaging that gets done besides an MRI. One start in the major leagues, cooking with gas.
Yeah.
And in the All-Star break. And I mean, the Yankees just lost Clark Schmidt to a Tommy John injury, that he had a forearm injury for multiple weeks. There's no way the Yankees, even if he makes a start versus Toronto, like, yeah, go kid, go throw 90.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
100 pitches every game. It's going to be cautious.
And you wonder if Schmidt didn't have Tommy John surgery, if they would have been like, you know what, maybe this is okay, and maybe they're having some cold feet now because of the injury and not wanting to send guys out there that are hurt.
The good news is this doesn't involve the muscles that involve Tommy John, but look, anytime a rotator cuff is mentioned, not good.
Especially when a young guy throws heat. Do you want to hear what Aaron had to say about the bullpen game tonight?
I saw this. So it's Rico Garcia, who they brought in from the Mets.
Yep.
And JT Brubaker are expected to throw multiple innings tonight, which I guess would preserve the bullpen, knowing you might need it. But this is just clunky, man. This is a team we got rejuvenated for, galvanized for, and the pitching is a major question mark. There's no other way around it. Again, Max Fried. Now, knowing this Cam Schlittler news, I'm going to lean, I think that Max Fried is pitching versus Toronto, and they're giving him a couple days that he played catch, and this is really more about Schlittler that they're monitoring this. If I had to put my money on right now, I know you said both. I think Max Fried starts the last, well, maybe not because bullpen game. Max Fried starts the second game in Toronto, and we do not see Cam Schlittler.
I only just say that with Fried because, yeah, the blister has popped, but he's gone on the IL a bunch of times in his career with a blister. How do we know that it doesn't even get worse after popping? I don't know enough about blisters. I've golfed, but I'm not exactly a blister, you know, connoisseur. I'm just speculating that this whole thing, we're just coming out of the All-Star break. And I understand that these are really, well, not really, because Schlittler is more midweek.
Yeah, that's what they said, midweek.
So it's clearly off of the start he had. We don't know the full story on just the overall feeling of when he got the soreness or how it built up. He just got it midweek, the whole deal. But Fried, we know this has been brewing for a little bit with the blister. And I just, you're coming out of the gate here, and there's already some immediate news. Now, the good thing, and this is why if Aaron Boone says this post-game, I would just rip my hair out if I'm a Yankee fan. Well, we're getting Luis Hill back. That's like a deadline.
No, they need more than Hill now.
You need more than that, Aaron. So enough with reading off the prompter and telling us everything's positive. Just you have to add more arms.
I go back to the trade deadline last year, and right at the 6 o'clock whistle, because we were here. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the deadline last year.
Yeah.
We ended the show. I think the Yankees had a 6:30 game and pregame was at 6. I think that's what happened at the deadline last year. That sounds right.
Vaguely remember that part of it.
And I remember walking out of the building,
yep,
going to the subway and looking down at my phone as I waited for the subway, and you saw that the Dodgers at the whistle had completed a trade for Jack Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I say that to say the Dodgers at that time had pitching, but they added to it. They were all in on trying to win a World Series. Their pitching injuries mounted. They ended up pitching bullpen games anyway in the postseason, and Flaherty became such an integral, important part of that team.
Yep.
Why do I say that? They took their path to going to a World Series that serious. The Yankees can't use Luis Hill coming back and just say, well, that's as good as anything. They need the depth. They need to add. And dare I say, a starting pitcher now for this team might be more important than the best bullpen arm available in terms of getting through and getting depth, because you know, if you have Weaver and you have Williams, and I'm ranking how you're going to get to a World Series here, I think third base, and I can't believe I'm going to leapfrog the pen with starting pitching now, makes the most sense, because I was really, really excited and I had my chips down for Cam Schlittler, and you can't anymore, and you can't trust Max Fried with the blisters.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to bullpen guys, they could figure it out and snap out of it any second. And I know Weaver's had his struggles. I know Williams has had his struggles. But they could turn it around and be lights out elite relievers. We've seen that in their careers down the stretch. So I'm not saying that you just, you know, put all your eggs in the basket of hope. But we've seen those guys pitch well. I don't think bullpen is like number one priority on this team right now. Absolutely need a third base. They should have had a third baseman going into the season. And now rotation to me is absolute top priority. You have to get multiple arms. Hill's not enough, and you don't even know what you're going to get out of Luis Hill when he returns. So you can't sit there. The Yankees have to be so aggressive here at the deadline, and little moves, it's just not enough because they are not as close as I think their record would indicate as far as winning a championship, and the American League is a lot better than we all thought it would be.
And to add to the trade deadline and, you know, who counts as trade deadline acquisitions, Aaron Boone has said now also pregame, it is possible Fernando Cruz could come back at some point in August. That's a precursor to saying, yeah, if they don't get a bullpen arm, and we're going to get Cruzy back at some point as a deadline move. But the Yankees have major, major issues as Cam Schlittler has bicep soreness, MRI clean though. Hopeful they can he can pitch for Toronto. But cross your fingers, and Max Fried, hopeful as well, he could pitch versus Toronto.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.